Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, just steady greeting people and not online. Bless the Lord, just even lost one person. But nevertheless, welcome you to the Blog Talk Radio, talking with the speaker off, bless the Lord. But nevertheless, we welcome you again to the Blog Talk Radio, Divine Connection. What a mighty God we serve. Another day to glorify his holy name and lift his name and give him praise as rightly due him. There is none like him, no matter what's going on in our lives. El Shaddai, glory to God, deserve all the praise. Oh, the mighty God we serve, he is so generous and so loving, so kind, oh, so forgiving. Whatever we need is found in him. We bless the Lord, glory to God, for him being our Jehovah Jireh that provides. He will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. Thank him for his mercy that's renewed every morning. Another opportunity to repent, to be used for his glory. Another opportunity to magnify his holy name. He told us to worship him in spirit and in truth. So I thank God for the gathering of the men and women of God, that we will continue to bless the Lord and glorify his name and pray and intercede. But this day is used, God, for him to let the ministers bring forth, glory to God, a message, glory to our ears, that we may be able to hear something that will charge us, stir us, fire us up, even bring correction for us to stay lined up with his word, standing on the promises of the Lord. So we pray, God, will bless each individual, each vessel that he's using for tonight, that they will bring forth, glory to God, that word from him that will divinely connect with our spirits and one another, that we may continue to stand fast and hold fast to his word, that we'll sharpen each other. As the Bible said, iron sharpen iron, and that's what we should be doing with one another as well as living a life that's holy, righteous, glory to God, and standing the right standing with him, and glory to God being a vessel that he can use and feel, showing the light and the being the salt of the earth. So we bless the Lord again as we're lifting up the name of the Lord as we bring on more, because once we don't want to let the time get away from us, because we have several ministers tonight for the 15 minutes that we will speak. So giving a couple of more minutes for a few more people to come on, and that's happening pretty quickly. So the Lord say the same. We will prepare ourselves to get ready to go into our speakers in just a moment. Our theme for the week, this day, praise the Lord, is restoration, restore, and restoring. All of those are tied in together, but as one be restored back to some things, as others may be, glory to God, in the midst of some things, God's given restoration. Praise the Lord. Our scripture reading will be coming from Galatians, the 6th chapter and the 1st verse. Brethren, if any person is overtaken in a misconduct or sin or of any sort, you who are spiritual, who are responsive and controlled by the Spirit, which is the Spirit of the Lord, should set him right and restore and reinstate him without any sense of superiority, and with all gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. Reading it out of the King James, that was amplified. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest that thou also be tempted. Bear one another burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his work, his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he also shall reap. And for I'm going to finish reading the last of the three scriptures. This is coming out of King James Version of Galatians, the 6th chapter, 1, going down to the 11th verse, as we read all the way up to the 6th verse, and might as well finish. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are in the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with my own hands, which is Paul speaking. For anyone that's coming on the line tonight, already added, just joined us, our theme to welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Divine Connection, and our theme tonight for the speakers is restoration, restore, and if need be, you can add restoring. And our theme scripture will be coming from whatever the Lord put in everybody's heart, but this is just a foundational scripture concerning restoring. Brethren, if any man is overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That's along with we as believers, but we know God is the one, even through us, but he's the one that gives, that's restore and restoring. But there are some things that God has blessed us, how we can restore one another. Praise the Lord. I will not be your first speaker tonight. Bless the Lord. We're going to call on none other than our prophet. Bird is our first speaker tonight. And then, as the Lord put it in my spirit, I'll tell you who the next one is. Bless the Lord. At this time, we're going to have none other than our speaker of the night, Pastor Bird. But before she does, we'll pray. Father, we do thank you and we give glory and honor for another day that the Lord has made. We will continue to rejoice if we made up our mind to live a holy and righteous life as a believer and as a disciple. Then those glory to God with their mindset to glorify you, we're going to rejoice and glorify you in all that we do more and more every day, helping us deny this flesh that you may be glorified in our lives. Forgive us for every offense against your word. We glorify you for all the opportunities that you give us, glory to God, in your mercy and in your grace. We thank you for favor. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you for the peace, the joy, which is some weapons, glory to God, along with the weapons that you said that are not carnal but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. Thank you, Lord God, for restoring us back to glory to God, back to the Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you for all the sacrifice you made in the name of Jesus. And now that we are, glory, at a part of the kingdom of God at such a time as this, help us not to be to that place that we'll be lip service people, but we will have a heart after you and we will submit to you and obey what your word is saying, being grateful every day of all the sacrifices you've made for us, God. And then that you bless us and not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Bless those that are going through right now. Touch their body, heal, and deliver. Those, glory to God, that may be facing other kinds of challenges or going through grief and sorrow for many things, whether it was through death or maybe through loss of income or just being able to have a place to stay or food or whatever. God, you know all things. So we are praying that you restore, that you bless and bring restoration to those, glory to God, that are in need, even in our lives as we are standing on your word. Help us to remember how, glory to God, that your word is even telling us how we're to restore, glory to God, one that the spirit of meekness and humility and have the spirit of God to somebody that falls and that we don't let the enemy use us, glory to God, to bring more harm or, glory to God, cause them to be in a mindset that they don't think they can come back. But help us to be wise God, and good stewards, Glory, of that you've given us to do with these gifts and these talents and the word that you've placed on the inside of us. God, we bless you today for all that you do. Bless each one of these speakers. Use them for your glory. Stir up the fire in them and the anointing, because your word is already anointed. Anoint them the more to yield to your will and use them for your glory. We bless you tonight, God. We're praying for those that don't know you in the pardon of their sins, that they will come into the knowledge of the truth, put somebody in their pathway, but take out a heart of stone and out of a heart of, and make a heart of flesh. God, give them a mindset to want to change and be delivered. As we pray for our country and pray for our president and pray for the various things that are going on around the world, globe, pray for our young people. Pray that they'll be snatched out of the hand of the enemy. Pray for their lives and bind up the spirit that's coming to bring in so much destruction. God, we plead the blood of Jehovah. We thank you for that you still do, because your word is still going to stand. The enemy will not win. The victory still is ours. Even though different tragedies and other things going on around the world, you're still in control. God, I bless you. Forgive us, Lord, the more for any lackness or slackness in our lives and not being obedient that you call. But we thank you, glory to God, for the blessings, glory to God, that already manifested and the ones that are standing. And we pray for those that are compromising now that they be delivered. Help us, God, as we pray, glory to God, for we to be restored back, glory to God, as a people, as a whole, so it won't be so much sickness and disease just taken over in the land. But God, we're believing you for greater things yet and the revival that's coming. So when we bind up Satan, all of the cohorts, set up props, plans, and every tragedy and everything that he's plotting, glory, even right now, to bind him up and loose him from his assignment, and glory, he'll be loose and bind up and sent back to the dry place in which he can. We're praying alertness and discernment and praying, glory to God, that we'll walk as people of righteousness, and God, that we'll keep a repentance heart daily, and God, help us like never before to love one another, to walk in forgiveness, and even to forgive ourselves. Help us, glory to God, to be faithful, God, in the name of Jesus. True to your word, we love you today. We appreciate you in Jesus' name. Right after Pastor Bird, prayerfully, Minister Ely will be online, and then we'll take the next person. After that, we will set it up. Amen. At this time, receive none other than our prophet, glory to God, Prophet Bird, and bless her, glory, as the Lord use her. Hallelujah. And her 15 minutes starts. Praise the Lord. And now, bless God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity to be in your presence tonight. We pray in the name of Jesus as we come forth with that you have given us. We yield to you. We yield to the Holy Spirit. If you want to change anything, whatever he wants to do, we come in the plans with that right now, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we pray that as this word go forth, that it will not fall on deaf ears. We are praying that the people will be receptive and receive this message that you have for us tonight. And we say that it will be life-changing, God, that it will change our attitude and how we think in the name of Jesus, because you said your word would not come back void. So, Father, again, I just give you praise, honor, and glory. As I decrease now, you will increase. And we thank and we praise you. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Restoration or restoring. In the Bible, restoration is always in abundance. When something is restored, it is always better than it was to begin with. God promised to us is a better way, a better life, a better future for ourselves and our loved ones. God restores us in the midst of everything that we're going through. He forgives us of our sins, and he restores us from where we were in the beginning. 1 Peter 5:10 says this, and after you have suffered a little while, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Even when we disobey God, there will be a time of restoring us. As we know, the Israelites was always always breaking the commandments. They was always disobedient to God. And there would come a time when God would just get tired of all of the foolishness, and God would allow the enemy to come in to the people. In Zechariah, when the people was in exile, and even the mountains wouldn't hide them. And as I was reading that, as the enemy came against them and God came back to restore them, the Bible said that God began to speak even to the elements. God spoke to the mountains, and he commanded those mountains that they would bring forth fruit. God spoke to the valley. God spoke to the elements, because everything was made by God and for God. And because God made all things, he commanded those things to now come and produce fruit for the Israelites. Because there was a time when the ground wouldn't even bring forth nothing. And when the ground brought forth something, the enemy would come in and take it. The enemy would come in and steal it. But God is a jealous God, the word of God said. And because God made everything, God is in control of everything, and God commanded the valleys and everything to give back to the people that which the enemy had stole, and they had to give it back in abundance. When God blesses us, God don't bless us with the same stuff we had, but God blesses us with more than enough. That is who God is. He restored to us. He gives back to us. And as he is doing that, we got to always know that if God is for us, he's more than the whole world against us. He forgives us, and it's like we have never sinned. And as I was studying that, God just reminded me of what restoring means to us. But you know, there's some things that have happened in our lives, with our children, with our parents, with friends, with other people, and we will say, I forgive you. And when we say, I forgive you, that term is, I restore you. I'm going to bring you back in that place. You used to be my best friend, but you did something against me. I'm going to forgive you. And you're going to be my friend again. And when they do, when they mess up, what we do is go back to what they did before. That's not true redemption. That's not true true with us when we are forgiven a person. We have to restore them back to the place they was when they was in good standing with us. But most of us don't. We'll start reminding them when they do something to mess up that friendship again. The first thing all mine do is go back to what you did. I remember what you did when I was 12 years old. I remember what you did when you were 16 years old. I remember this. I remember that. That is not restoring. That, because we can't restore unless we forgive. So we have to forgive people their trespasses as God forgive us of ours. And God does not bring our past back up to us. Well, see, I've been guilty of that. Somebody did something to me, and I said, I forgive you. But the trust issue was gone now. And every time you do something, it brings me back to that original time when you came against me. But that's not God. When God forgive us of anything, when God restore us, we are restored in good standard. We are restored with abundance, and we are better off now than we were then. When Adam and Eve was in the garden, and they disobeyed God, and he put them out, that was under this old covenant that he had with them. When Jesus came on the picture, it was a new covenant, and that new covenant did away with the old, and it was a better covenant. Jesus died for us. He gave his life for us, and he restored us in good standing with the Father. Therefore, now, we are entitled to everlasting life. That means that we were completely forgiven and set free. We were restored back to him. So when you restore something, you restore that thing in its original form of better than it was before. You know, if you've had some work done on your house and you had rotten wood in it and different stuff that you had to take out, when you rebuild that house, you're going to put the rotten wood back in. You have to take that rotten wood out and put in something new so it's stronger and better than it was before. So that is that restoration that God does for us. It is that restoration where we can come and rest in him. One of the things that God will have to do for us, and he'll do it for all of us, is Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And this says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We all got to have a new mindset. I don't care what changes in your life unless your mindset change, you're the same old stuff you was before. Your thoughts are the same. You have not changed. And therefore, the decisions you make will be the same decisions. But I thank God for redemption. I thank God for restoring us. I thank God for all of his blessings upon us. I thank God for mercy and grace, because every time, and we do it too, God forgives us of our past. God forgives us. We are under a new covenant, and we have to do that same thing for one another. We have to be kind and effective to one another. We got to love each other in order to truly forgive. And as I was studying that, God just brought me back into how we think as human beings. You know, I remember my dad being sick, and my dad did nothing for us when we were coming up. We had to struggle and fence for ourselves. But when my dad got sick, I think that my dad, he couldn't hardly receive our love and attention for him because he remembered what he did, but we didn't. We loved him as dad regardless of what he'd done to us or how he had treated us, and he didn't quite know how to receive that. But one, he had seven children, and all of us was at that hospital at one time of another, taking turns sitting with him, bathing him, loving him through all of his sickness until he died. In that thing, in our hearts and in our mind, what we had done was we restored him. We put him in that position of just being all dead. And even though he could not accept it because we had another mindset, you know, growing through all of that, it made us strong. And it kept us all together. And regardless of that, it did not change the fact that he was dead. In our lives, when things happen to us, the enemy will come in and he'll steal from us. The enemy will come in and he was still our joy. He was still our children. He was still our families. He was still jobs and everything from us. But God will repair. God will replace. God will redeem in that same way. But we have to give it all to God and allow him, first of all, to reconstruct us by the renewing of our minds. Because I don't care how much you say I've changed, and you can still remember what Mama did. Now, we can talk about some of that stuff, you know, because we never really forget it. But we got to come to that complete forgiveness. That's just that restoring, that replacing those bad images in our head with the love of God. Because, see, this thing means more than what we think it means. God was giving me so much stuff and so many examples as I was looking into that restoring and restoration. And that same mercy and grace that God have extended to us, we got to extend that to others. We got to extend that things even to family members who don't deserve it. I don't care what they did. When we forgive them, we have to forgive them completely. And I need to tell you, as how to keep that scorecard to yourself, that every time you hear that name, that you go back to where they beat you when you were 16, your mind has not been renewed. You have not fully recovered from that, and you have not put them in a place of being better than they were before. Because, see, we all change. We all make mistakes. We all do things that we shouldn't have done. And even when God was restoring us back to himself, God didn't remember our past and bring that back to us. He brought us in a new covenant, in a new way, and with promise when he gave his only son for us. So with that in mind, when we forgive people, we can't keep bringing up the past to them. We can't keep them captive because guess what? They're not only captive by that, so are you. That's he said, so is a man thinketh, so he is. That means that even in our mind, we have kept that thing. And it's a difference now between, because we never forget nothing. We don't forget that. Because if we forgot completely, we keep making the same mistakes over and over. But it has to be to a place where it doesn't make you angry just like it did then. Or that hurt come up just the way that hurt came up then. They have to be redeemed. And we have to have a renewed mind, and we have to restore them. Because look how many times the children of Israel kept going back to their old ways, kept going back to doing the things they used to do. It was like from one generation to another. One generation would do it, the next generation would stop, and they would have their own parties. They would live their own life. They would erect their own gods. And God would bring them in captivity. He let the enemy have his way. But because of his love and his grace and his mercy and how much he loved us, he would go back and restore them. And they always came out with more than they had before. In that content, and to make us stronger individuals, and to make us compassionate people, and to make us that image of God be inside of us by the things we do and see. We have to come to that same place of restoring and restoration. You got to forgive your brother who you haven't spoke to in 10 years. Complete restoration. You have to forgive those folk who said things about you that wasn't true. And restore them, at least in the place they were in before you knew them. Bring that complete restoration and begin to pray for them. Hallelujah. That restoration, like I say, it go deeper than what we think. And God wants us to be fully recovered. God wants to fully restore us so that that same mercy and grace that he showed us, that we can extend that to others so that they can be better people. Because it's hard for me to pray for you if I'm remembering everything you did to me that was wrong. It's hard for me to say I forgive you, but I don't trust you. Oh, korabasiki imande. We got to forgive. And as we receive that redemption and restoring and restoration from God, we got to extend that to our brothers and our sisters in that same content. We will always be aware. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world, even when we messed up, even when we sinned against him, even when we put other gods before him, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to restore us, to put us in right standing, so that we could love him and be his people. He wanted a family of people. And even when Adam and Eve messed up, he already knew. This plan was already before time existed. He had the plan for his son to come and redeem us back to himself. And I'm going to leave you with these words. None of us are perfect. And all of us have done things that, if God would judge us rightly, we would not be able to even go into his presence. But because of God's grace and mercy, and because God has redeemed us to himself, and because he has forgiven us, we are able to stand upright before him right now at this time. So I would say to us, let's forgive and forget. Let's restore people, not putting them in a place where they will never be in our favor again. You'll never be in my sight again. I don't ever want to speak to you again. But we will come to that place and just say, I extend grace and mercy to you as our Father has to us. And again, our message, we're talking about restoration. And we're talking about restoring. And that's just some of the message that God gave me. And I'm just giving you that little piece because I want to be obedient for time's sake. And so I'm going to leave you with that tonight. Just something to chew on and think about. And may God bless each of you. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I was waiting for Miss Ely to come on. Okay, let me check to make sure her line is all the way open.
Greetings. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Greetings to God be the glory. Thanks to the Lord for the word that Pastor Bird has already brought forth. And I just thank God for the opportunity. Thank God for Pastor Hubbard. Give honor to my pastor, overseer, Dorothy A. McGuire, and all the saints on the line, ministers of the gospel. God, I come before you as humbly as I know how, giving you thanks and praise, but this is the day that the Lord has made, and he will rejoice and be glad in it. And God, I just appreciate you for all that you've done. I ask you to please forgive me, Lord, let flesh die, Lord, that you may get the glory and the honor in this word and all the word that's coming in tonight, God, in the name of Jesus. We appreciate you for the opportunity to speak your word. And Lord, let the words that's spoken to us saturate our spirits and our minds tonight in the name of Jesus to give you all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Again, the word, as the woman God has stated, that the theme is restoration and restore. So what God, the subtitle I have is brush yourself off and get your win. Whether it be your second win, your first win, your third win, get your win. And my core scripture came from, and the first thing when Pastor Hubbard brought up this restoration, restore, was 1 Peter 5:10. And I'm coming from the English, modern English version for this scripture, and the rest of the scriptures should be coming from the King James Version. But after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory through Christ Jesus, will restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. The devil is going to come after you with all he has, every tactic, every strategy, every hidden trick. The devil wants us to lose our faith, our peace, our strength, our joy. He comes to attack us in any and many ways, and he tries to use avenues, ways in which sometimes we see it coming and sometimes we're blindsided. But in all those things, he has a strategy of how he comes after us. But we know who our God we serve, that he said there will be trials and tribulations, and there's times when things that we will go through. But the enemy tries to come in a sense of to try to throw us off where we can't even see when it comes. But there's times when it even comes so bad that it tries to take you out. But God will sometimes let these things happen to draw us closer to him. Some of us won't do right unless God has to take us through a trial or push us to a place. God wants us to prosper. He wants us to be blessed. But the word tells us that there will be the storm. There will be trials. There will be storms. But he will bring us through it. And the scripture that says in James 1, my brother, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But letting patient have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect in entirety. And that was James 1:2-4. And if we seek him, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, all things will be added unto us. So we have to be at a place that even when there's trials and tribulations and the things that's going on, we have to stay focused in God's presence. We have to make sure that we are in place and position to hear his word and know what God is going to constantly be in the midst of every storm, every trial, every situation. He's there. But as we go through it, there's a process that we have to go through because, again, there is a storm, there is a trial that we may go through, but God restores us. He gives us the strength to keep going. He will give us the wind, the strength, the drive to push and get up out of that situation. Even when you think you're tired and you can't go on, God always has a way of escape. We can't just lay there. We have to cry out. We have to continue to praise God. We have to continue to pray and definitely stay in our word because the word is what's going to get us through. The word is what's going to bring us back to where we need to be in him and to continue to be able to keep moving, to keep pressing, to keep believing and keep on going in the midst of any trials, tribulations, and situations that we go through. There was this place that I'm in right now, I had to go back to the basics and find scripture specifically for strength, joy, peace, faith, to let the word remind me to brush myself off and get my win. For you or me, any of us that we are in this time, our win can be different things. Getting your win back can be your mindset to not let the devil tell you, I can't make it. No, I will make it because I trust God, because I believe his word, I know who he is and what he's called me in this season, in this hour. It can be your finances when you think that you will lose or how everybody else is doing. No, God, you promised me it will come to pass. It could be when your body's being attacked and you And it even puts, it can be so heavy that it puts a weight on your soul. No, I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. T.D. Jakes preached a word, stay on track. I happened to hear this word this morning, and it was just something that was just disturbed my spirit, staying on track. Because there's always going to be distractions. There's always going to be something. The enemy's always going to come to try to come and put us in a place that we feel like, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I'm called. I don't know if this is what really, what you said, God. What am I supposed to move to the left or the right? But we have to hear his voice. We have to be in tune with him, but we got to stay on track. In the word that he used was in Psalms 37 and 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighted in his ways. So no matter what the circumstances, the situations are going on, God has us. He knows where we move. Even where Job went through all that he went through, he lost his family. He lost all his livestock. He lost his children. There were things where his wife wasn't in place and position, but he said, I'll trust God. I will stay according to your word. And God, with his faithfulness, because even in that situation, God allowed the enemy to attack him. But he said, you can't attack the man of God. And that man of God stood in the test of the times, losing everything. But he still said, I'll trust God. I believe your word. I will walk with you. I will let you guide me. I will do what you called me to do. No matter what it looks like, I will continue on. I will stay the course. And God blessed him with even more than what he has. So in anything that we go through, as Bird said, that we know that God is a restorer. He has shown it time and time in situations through the Bible, things that happened, things that circumstances that were encounters that allowed the men and women of God to know who God was. And his word was true and all those things. So no matter what we are going through and or the process, we have to keep stepping. We have to not allow ourselves to be so distracted, but we have to keep stepping forward. You have to keep moving to the place where God has called you to be. There will be times where we're tired, we're weak and weary, but if we stay in his word, if we continue to trust him, if we continue to believe him, we continue to move forward, we continue to go by his guidance, he will restore. He will set us free. He will continue to prune and pluck us to be the place and the position that he wants us to be. There's times that there is process that we have to go. There's deeper depths and higher heights and levels that God wants to take us, but we have to go through some things. This life was never going to be easy. It was going to have its challenges, but it's how we go through it. It's how we pursue and press forward so that God can keep us in the midst of everything that we do go through. And it's and as we press forward and we move in God's will and his way and do according to his word, it says in Philippians 3 and 13, brothers, I count it not myself to apprehend it. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press to the mark of the prize of the high calling which in Christ Jesus. So any time that we're moving about, we got to keep the press. We got to keep going. We got to keep pursuing. We got to keep moving forward. We got to keep going. Don't allow the enemy to distract you in the midst of what you may be going through, because he is a healer. He is a provider. He is a God that will take care of us and cover us and keep us. He just wants us to walk in his word and his will. And it's even when it looks like we don't know which way to turn, even something my mama always says, and we have to trust God when we can't trace them. And even when you're in the eye of the storm, there is peace if you stay focused on our God. And in that, he will restore. He will give us all that we need. He will bring us through every situation. God will keep us. And we just know that his word will be what his word will be every day, every hour. A minister in training, Jalen, today spoke about, let this be my last fight. in that situation, as I got the word, is that we will have fights through our life, but there are fights that we need to come through, not stay staggered, get through it, learn the lesson so you can go on for the next battle. But if in that, even in that, what he was saying and preaching in the topic today, that last fight, excuse me, will get us to where we can press and pursue and believe God and know God is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we can ask or think. And again, as I said earlier, we shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. So as we go through our tests, go through our trials, God will restore. He will bring us through. He will keep us. So all I ask you tonight as I leave with this segment, dust yourself off and get your win.
Praise the Lord. It's been a blessing thus far. Praise the Lord. At this time now we're going to have Mother Evangelist Alexander. Thank God for Pastor Bird and Evangelist Ely.
Hallelujah, Lord. Glory be to God. Father God, we thank you tonight. Thank you for who you are, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being the head of our life. Lord, you said in your word, you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us. And I believe, Lord God, that you are the only restorer, Lord. Doesn't matter what the situation looks like, we know that your promises never fail. And Lord, we thank you this morning. When you wake us up in a sound mind, Lord God, thank you, Heavenly Father, because only you could do it, no one else. Now, we suppose I am speaking and restore, because with all what's going on in this world today, we as the body of Christ supposed to know that we know that God never, never leave us. Even when we do things that we know that it's let us fall off the line, God still have his hand stretched out to help us out because of his mercy that is forever. Glory to God. Now we know that the Spirit of the Lord, he see all things. Nothing is hidden. So we have here, we say, restoration. Put back, repair, replace, reinstate, mend, fix, renew. And we know all those come under that one word, restore, restoration. And we know that God gave us the power and the authority and the dominion here on earth to stand, regardless what the enemy come and doing, still stand, because we know God paid the price. His only begotten Son suffered for us. So regardless how the enemy come against to attack our mind, our body, our any family member, anything, we must still stand, sister and brother. Stand. Because we must always remember, we're not fighting against flesh and blood now. We're fighting against that spiritual wickedness, that fiery darts that he's throwing at us. But the Lord said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. So we got to learn to believe in God. Stress, God did not give us that spirit either. Every time you turn and look at things happening in the world and you're stressing out and you forget and saying things that you're not supposed to say. But as always, believe this. And because word have power, you have to be caution on what you allow the enemy to put in your mouth. Because then you be saying things and it turn out that that's just the enemy, man. And with who you are in Christ, crush it. Crush it. Don't let it take your peace. Don't let it take your joy. Stress over what people may say or think should not let it destroy you. Keep your eyes on God, knowing that God promises is real. One thing I always like about Paul. Paul, when he was Saul, he was something else. But when he become Paul, baby, that was a force to reckon with. That is how we all, that is sons and daughters of God, should be. Yeah, we was in the world once. But when we come to recognize who we are, who can pull us down? When we make up our mind to serve the living God and to do his will, who can pull us down, baby? No one here on earth. You stand. Stand on the promises, regardless what the situation might look like. Stand. Because we must always remember this. Elijah restored Shunammite's son. Remember in 2 Kings? Because what? Elijah knew who he was, baby. It's the same way we can do the word of God by standing on his word, saying what God said, and standing it. In Jeremiah 30 and 17, what did God say to Jeremiah? I will restore health unto thee. I will. So that let each and every one that know who we are in Christ, we know we who the restorer has. Who the restorer is, because he is who restores our health. Although the enemy try fiery darts against us day and night, we got to stand because we know our restorer is immovable. His promises don't fail. In the book of Joel, what did happen there? He restored again. Joel 2 and 25, and I will restore to you the years that the locusts had eaten. It's the same thing going on today. We go around and the body of Christ seems to forget the power and the dominion that was given to us. Don't even want to assemble. But I always believe this. If God said it, baby, we can do it. We don't have to be stretched out all of our life. No, 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 no. We don't have to put up because the world doing something, we have to do it. No. We have to remember who we are in Christ Jesus. And we also have to remember that as a man or a woman of God, a daughter or a son of God, the power is within. It's not what you're looking at. It's what's coming out your mouth. The power that is within you. If God said, I will restore your situation, then I don't care how black or dark or whatever it looks like. I know my God going to bring me out of it. We got to know, church, that we as children of the living God should be able to stand. Stand regardless of the enemy come against us, because each and every one of us that serve the living God, that foul spirit is going to come against us. He will find something when it's not your body, when it's not your child, when it's not your home. He will find something to come against you with. But glory be to God, God gave us his word. He will repair it. He will renew it. But we got to stand faithful. Scripture reading that I have was given to me to read. The Lord says, faithful. Faithful. We must stand faithful, brother and sister. Regardless what come against us. Knowing that keep our eyes on the living God. Because he is the only way for us. Hebrews 10:23 tell us, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. In other words, he called you to be a pastor. He called you to be an evangelist. He called you to be an apostle. He called you to be a prophet. Stand, because you have the power within you to do it. God don't call you and leave you empty. You fail when he called you, because he did. And it said according to his word, let us hold fast to your calling, man. Our faith, don't waver, man. Don't waver. The Bible tells you plain and straight, without wavering. For he is faithful, that promise. Not man, baby. Man don't promise us that. But God promised. He is faithful. Regardless what the storm look like, you don't let nothing shake your power and your authority that God gave you. Because God is going to bring you out. Sickness and disease, no matter what come against the body, cry out to God, because his word going to stand. Today the church, go to church, you can count your finger, two or four or three people in church. But what did the word say? According to Hebrews 10:24, it said, let us consider one another to provoke and to love to good works. Stand. It don't take a whole day to stand together and give God praise and worship him. No. You have to know that if he said it in his word, you can do it. You can do it. Everything is going on in the world full blast. The body of Christ seems to sit back. Why? The enemy throw wrench into the body. Church, oh no, we can't go because it's too much. The pestilence is taking over. Bind it in the name of Jesus and still know, God, you are my shield. You are my protector, because he was shield for Abraham. He's the same God, and he can be a shield for us too. We got to claim it and believe it. He said in verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. A lot of people don't realize, baby, you don't have to go up underneath a person to go to church. Pews is long enough that more than one and two person can sit on. But the enemy have you deceived, though. Because you go into the church building, you can count your fingers. But my heavenly Father said in his word, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together. God already tell us, when we come together, we are powerful. One sister alone, standing up and going out to take our work shed down, she's power. But baby, when you get another sister standing with her, that's a force to recompense with. That's why it's good to assemble, baby. And we don't have no excuse, you know. There's no excuse. I don't see where in the world God tell us you have an excuse that you cannot assemble. Mm-mm. People going to other stuff going on in the world, you put your mask on and keep it going. But I believe that we all that stand together, child of God, we give the enemy no place. No place. Thank God for a prayer line warrior woman at the head of the prayer line that she stands. Faithful, doesn't matter what no one says. You keep your eyes on God and keep it going. The promises of God don't change, baby. He don't change. Our heavenly Father tell us he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. We got to stand boldly and proclaim victory. Because the victory was already given to us through Christ Jesus. There is nothing that a child of God cannot accomplish if she put her mind to it. The same way our forefathers stand faithful is the same way we should be able to stand faithful. Because the promises that he gave is not change. It doesn't change, baby. We have to know that regardless what goes on in this world, we are not of this world. We are a child of the living God. The promises of God is what we must go after, regardless of situation come against us. Still stand praising God and standing on his promises, because his word said it. He is the restorer. There is not a restorer like him. Remember what the word of God tells us, man. He is the only restorer that I know that can restore and make things brand new like none ever happened. Only God can do it. Nobody else. Nobody else but the living God, baby. But you got to stand faithful. Stand faithful in the Lord's word. His word don't change. His word is the same. According to his word in Psalms 23, he didn't say you restore. He said, he restore my soul. We got to take this thing personal. He restore my soul. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restore my soul. Nobody else can do what God can do. But we got to stand faithful and know that if God said it, we don't have to try to straighten out and discuss. No, it said it and that's it. His promises never change. The main thing God want us to do is to be operated in the love of God towards one another. And to stand faithful on his word. Well, you got to know that you know. 1 John tell us in chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit wherever they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And we know it. Because we are not blind. We see false spirit is roaming so rough today that it is doing chaos, killing, rapping, and the church got to fight, man. It got to get up. Take up your banner, because we have no excuse, baby. Too much stuff is going on. But as I said before, thanks be to God for prayer line that will stand for no foolishness. Thanks be to God for a prophet that lets you know exactly. Sometimes it reminds me of the great prophet Deborah. People talking about now because male and female, but God didn't say that. God called who he chose to call and equip them. So it's up to you to stand faithful, because his word don't change. It don't change, baby. It do not change. God tell us in his word, hear of God, little children, according to his word in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, hear of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You can't let the things of the world pull you down. You got to stand, knowing that God's promises is real. And when you know that your restorer is the living God, baby. I don't care what come against you. God can restore. God can restore. And I thank God for the word that he gave me. It's short and sweet. And I've got to say what he said. Amen and amen.
Glory be to God. Bless the Lord again for the word. Amen. Praise the Lord. At this time we are here from words from a prophetess Anu. After prophetess Anu would be Mother McCormick. After Mother McCormick would be Pastor Sims. And then, time permit, we'll have 5 minutes from Sister Rachel. Time permit. At this time, receive none other than Prophetess Anu.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Father God, I just want to thank you and praise you, Lord God, for this day, this life, this health, my life, my health, my strength. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace and mercy and your loving kindness. Thank you, Lord God, for the people of God that's on the line right now. I pray, God, that you continue to strengthen them and encourage them in the name of Jesus, God. Continue to uplift them, God. Help them, Lord God, to be like that tree planted by the still water, God, not being moved, Lord God, no matter what the storms may be. Lord God, we may bend, but we may not break in the name of Jesus. God, I pray, Father God, that you forgive me, God, for anything that I have said or done wrong that's been displeasing to your sight. Oh, God, anything that I should have done and I did not do. I ask, God, for your forgiveness, and I pray, Lord God, to have a spirit of obedience and an ear to hear in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, as I just woke up hearing everything, I pray, God, that you open my mouth, as I open my mouth, Lord God, that you would speak through me at this time and in this hour, in the name of Jesus. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and praise in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord, saints. Hallelujah. First hour, I give God honor, the glory, and praise to be able to speak to you on tonight and actually being able to truly breathe properly. As some of you know, I've got this thing through COVID, and I thank you for your prayers. And I thank God for restoration in the name of Jesus. I don't have much to say, but I will try to share what I do have in being obedient to the woman of God, Pastor Apostle Hubbard, and prayerfully being obedient to the Spirit of the Lord at this time. As we have heard and understand that restore or restoration is to bring back, to restore back not only to its former self, but even greater than what it was before. As Pastor Bird even talked about forgiveness, and Minister Ely spoke about dusting yourself off and getting your wind back. And then Mother Alexander speaking on restoring and trusting God and believing in God. And as I'm listening, and I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to say in this process? Like I said, the first thing I thought of course, was restore. What does that mean? And that, again, going back to being greater or better than the former self. And, of course, a lot of times when we think of restore, we think of some of the scriptures that Pastor Bird and Minister Evie, Mother Alexander, some of them actually overlap. And I think one of them that I'm overlapping is Joel 1, talking about I should have had my phone open to it. So Joel 1 and 4, speaking about the locust. Let me see if I can calm down, Alicia. Y'all know I don't really like public speaking, right? Y'all know that. Yeah, I keep hearing the prayers. Joel 1, let me see if I can pull it out real quick. 1 and 4, speaking about locusts. And in that particular scripture, it says that what the locust swarms have left, the great locusts have eaten. What the great locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. And what the young locusts have left, other locusts have eaten. And I was reading that, and I'm going, my God, I think I've always just thought about the locusts, right? But this thing is just talking about basically there is nothing left. There will be nothing left because there's going to be generation after generation. The sizes, right? The great locust, whatever they didn't eat or had left, then the young locust is going to take in whatever the young locust didn't get, then the other locust. Well, good God, what the world is the other locust? That's going to come in and destroy. And so in that, as I'm reading and I'm thinking about it, of course, my mind goes to Job. And I'm like, this sounds like a Job situation. As he was, you know, when things started taking place and was happening, you know, there was always one who survived, right, and would come back and tell Job, well, this happened. And while he was yet speaking, another one would come and say what had just taken place. And while he was yet speaking, then another one would come and tell him what was taking place. And to the point where by the time it was all said and done, Job had lost everything, right? He lost his family. He lost property, just everything. And so I'm looking and I'm reading that and I'm like, my God, this is a lot, right? That we're having, that Job had to deal with. And then looking at this here, where the invasion of the of the locust that was taking place. And then as I kept reading, I found out that locust could mean, in this particular situation, uncertainty. And how many times have we gone through life and things have taken place that left us in a place of darkness, in a place of just complete uncertainty, didn't know what was going to take place next, didn't know, should I go to the left, should I go to the right? What do I do in this particular place? And as I was reading more, and so I'm trying to scroll through my phone because I don't have this everything written down, there's a point where it's even being talked about how the locust was even coming in like an army, to the point where, let me see if I can find it real quick. I just want to read that real quick. At the sight of them, nations are in anguish. Every face turns pale. They charge like warriors. They scale the walls like soldiers. They all march in line, not swerving from their course. They do not jostle each other. Each marches straight ahead. They plunge through defenses without breaking ranks. They rush upon the city and they run along the wall. They climb into the houses like thieves. They enter through the windows. Before them, the earth shakes. The heavens tremble. The sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord thunders at the head of his army. His forces are beyond number. And mighty is the army that obeys his command. The day of the Lord is great. It is dreadful. Who can endure it? As I'm reading that part, that's in Joel 2. And which one? That was Joel 2 starting at the 6th verse, ending at the 11th verse. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, again, sometimes we have gone through such things in uncertainty, and we've gone through situations where it has been one thing after the other. I mean, back to back to back. And it just seems like at times it becomes overwhelming. Like, my God, I thought you said, take of my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But God, right now, I mean, I don't see it. I definitely don't feel it because it seems real heavy right now. Things seem really dark right now. But thank God for the strength of God keeping us and protecting us and bringing us through those situations. And if it weren't for God, I'm sure it would be so much worse. So I'm thinking about all of this, and I'm like, okay, things sometimes do get really hard in our lives, and it does kind of make us waver. And sometimes we you know, it's kind of hard to keep that strength and keep that faith in God, but we have to continue to look back and remember his goodness, remember how he's brought us through before. And true enough, sometimes you may have you're going through a thing right now that you've never gone through before, that you've never had to deal with before. But then remember Joel 2:25, when God says that he will restore what the locusts have eaten. And you think about that, how the enemy has come in and how he's been so just relentless, and how it just seems like your whole foundation was shaken. It may seem like, how in the world is this, if this breaks up, if this happens, if I lose it all, how in the world can it be? But God says that God is a God that cannot lie. And if he says that he is going to restore back, he is going to restore back everything that the enemy has stolen from you. It may take a little while longer. It may look different. You may have to go through a process. But he will restore, and we know that from even just the scriptures of Job and what he went through. Eventually, did he not get back what he had? Matter of fact, he even got a better wife out of the deal. So, sorry, that may not have been a good deal to say, but it was true, though. And so that God can restore. He can restore marriages. He can, even if you lost some loved ones, even though you may gain other family members or a new family or new children, whatever, they never can be replaced, but he can restore it and help you through that healing process and help you get through that, and you'll become stronger for it. And we have to remember, we are here on this earth. We are human beings, and bad things are going to happen. You know, sometimes I remember growing up in church, they made it sound like sometimes, Now, some churches always seem like they talk about all the bad things, but then some churches seem like they talked about everything good, like, oh, and God was this and that. And some people walked away thinking, you know, that no sufferings would happen, no bad things would take place, and, you know, everything was going to be, you know, walking through roses and jumping through tulips and not realizing or recognizing that, no, you're going to go through some hard things. That's why God says he will strengthen you. And he'll keep you, and he'll protect you. But there's going to be some times where you have to be strengthened. Well, to be strengthened, that means at some point you went through a weak point, correct? And so I think about Psalms 73 and 26. It says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So there may be times where things may hit you hard and you may not understand, and things may take place, but trust in God and know that he is a restorer. He will give you the strength and the ability to be able to get through it. But there's a part in that we have to play. Like with Mother Alexander, we got to trust him. You know, the stressors are out here. They're going to come, and they're going to take place. But it's like Carmelita said, Minister Ely, you got to be able to dust yourself off, and you got to be able to lift up and say, you know what? Yes, this is hard. This is hard now. This is about to knock the wind out of me, but I'm going to have to catch my wind and remember who my God is and who he is in me, because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And, yes, some things are going to be real hard, and some things are going to take place, whether it's within your marriage, within your family, within your jobs, your careers, whatever it may be. And then you got to be able to, like Pastor Bird was saying, you got to be able to walk in that forgiveness and to be able to allow forgiveness to take place. And prayerfully, those relationships can be restored. And like I said earlier, you know, we're going to go through some hard things. We're going to go through things that's difficult. And I want to get to a testimony real quick, but I want to read this one scripture, 1 Peter 5 and 10. And it says, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after. That's a big word right here, because when you're looking at this scripture, God of all grace, he called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while. Will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Again, letting us know hard times is going to come. But know that I called you. I have the grace upon you. And you belong to me. So I got you, boo. That's what that's really saying. I got you. It's going to be okay. But you got to trust him. You got to depend on him. You got to lean on him. And, yes, this uncertainty can get real dark sometimes. It can get to a place where it's almost like you can't breathe because it seems like it's coming upon you so strong. But just like, you know, that scripture that talks about how the locusts were like the soldier, like an army, we got to remember that we are in the army of the Lord, and God and his army will stand against that. And he is greater than what is coming up against us. And I'm going to share my testimony, just speaking on just one level of restoration. At this point, my husband and I have been married 10 years, and absolute great marriage. I mean, no real, what you call, what some people would say, real issues or what have you. Do we have disagreements? Oh, yeah, we had disagreements. And if anybody know anything about the Hubbard girls, or this family, we're very vocal. We're very independent. We're definitely going to speak our minds. And so you had my mouth that you had to deal with, and then you had my husband he could go from one extreme to the other. But somehow we always seem to manage to balance that all out and just really laugh, cut up, have a great time pretty much all the time. But then I ended up in a situation where I was just, when you talk about uncertainty, I didn't know what was getting ready to happen. My foundation was shook. And it wasn't anything that we had done necessarily, you know, internally against one another. It was, and thank God for healing, it was an external situation. We went through some church hurt, as a lot of you know, and I had gotten kind of used to it. I never had a bullseye directly on my back until this thing had happened. But I've been through church hurt before with because of things that my mother had gone through. Sorry, I knew what it looked like. I kind of had an idea of what it felt like. My husband had never been through such a situation ever. And, excuse me, I don't normally share this testimony with everyone, but I do feel like the Lord in this is allowing me to share this one. I'm sharing it at this time, so I'm going to try to speak quickly because I know a couple other people got to speak. So in it, my mother-in-law has come in. She's a part of a different denomination than what we were a part of. They didn't believe in women preachers. They definitely didn't believe in basically Church of Christ, right? If you didn't have Church of Christ or something on your door, then you weren't really a church. My husband had joined that church unbeknown to me, and in it, it was causing some friction because it's like this is going totally against everything that we believe God for. The gift of prophecy, speaking in tongues, all of which you have gone through and you know about. The power of God moving through women preachers. My mother is a minister of me. So in all of this, it caused our whole household to be in an uproar. And this went on for about 3 years or more. And my mother-in-law, it wasn't just about that. She had started doing things like asking my kids to call her mother. When she fixed food, only prepared enough for them, nothing for me, or making it so that where I could only eat whatever it was that they had prepared. Like it had gotten real nasty there for a little bit. And so I would always have to spin outside or do something else. And so with all of that I'm saying, like, it got really bad. She came against my niece, my mother, so many different things. And it was like, what the devil? The devil is in my house. Like, not calling her devil, but the spirit was just in here, and it was just trying to tear everything apart. How my kids operated with her, had a relationship with her and everything. And so it took a situation where she ended up leaving. And I say all of this to say that in it, you know, the first thing you think is, oh, you got to get up out of here. I don't want you. We're never speaking again. Blah, 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 blah. All these things that, right, that you would come up with. And I was determined that in the midst of this all, and believe me, it was hard now. It wasn't no easy thing. In the midst of it all, I had to say, God, show me me. Because I'm not 100% right in this situation. There's something in here that I've been doing, some stuff I knew. There were certain questions I asked. Yeah, I wanted answers too, but there was times I had to ask them questions. There was times I didn't have to come in the attitude that I asked those questions. There was times I could have just kept my mouth shut and just prayed about it. So I'm like, God, you show me me. Show me what I'm doing wrong in this so I can continue to be who you call me to be. So my life, my livelihood, everything could get back in order because it was getting to a point I didn't want to come home. I'm out for, get off of work, and I'm still out for 6 hours before I walk through the door. That don't make no sense. And so in that process, and walking in the spirit of Pastor Bird was talking about, in the spirit of forgiveness, and asking him to show me and really allow him to show me and what it is that I need to fix. So I can get it right, so I can do the better thing. And then praying and believing God that wherever she is, that God will deal with her, but mainly praying for me. God turned around and blessed and restored that relationship between me and my husband, between me and my mother-in-law, to the point where my husband even had to go back to my mother-in-law and say, you know what, there's some things, yes, that could have been handled a whole lot better on my wife's side. However, the things that you did was wrong. You know, there was still working deal with the children, but it's a whole lot better than what it was. And so we're going to go through some things where it just seems like I felt like my world had been turned inside out, upside down, didn't know what was getting ready to happen next. But God being the great God that he is, and because I allowed him to come in and I allowed him to talk to me and help me get whatever is on the inside of me and understanding that, okay, you know what, this is my trial at this particular time. Because, yes, I would not have expected it to happen, but because I am a child of God, the enemy is, that's his job, is to come and to attack. And so this is my attack. These are the battle scars that I'm getting ready to deal with. I can deal with the church hurt. I can deal with, you know, people coming up with this and that and what have you. But I wasn't expecting within my own home. But I had to look at it and say, you know what? This is a part of it. But I am going to be that tree planted by that water. And I am going to keep my roots and keep them deep down. And I may bend a little bit, but I refuse to break. And having that mindset and understanding that this was a trial that I'm having to go through and determined that I am going to go through it and allow God to restore, I can say now we can sit down and we can all laugh and talk with one another. It may not be at this point better than it was before, but it's definitely a whole lot better than it was, at, you know, at a really bad time. And I'm looking and I'm seeing God even still restoring, even now. And so I leave that with you. I know everything seems rushed. I hope this makes some sense. I'm hoping and praying that this has some resonance with you. That trust God, believe in him. And like I said, uncertainty is going to come. It's going to take place. In dark days, will seem like they're there, but just remember that God is there with you at all times, and he will strengthen you. He will encourage you. He will restore you, but you got to also allow him to, as Pastor Bird was saying earlier, you got to allow, you know, the renewal of your mind to be able to take place, because if you don't, you're just going to keep repeating the same thing over and over and over again. I think that's my cue. It's time for me to stop. So I thank God for this time. Yeah, we're going to minister to speak to you. Just know that God is with you. He's blessed me where I have lost material things. And it's like, oh, my God, what is going on? I've had to go through pre-foreclosure, what have you. And God turned around and still blessed to the point, living in houses bigger than the houses that I had. At times, instead of having one or two cars, I've had five cars all at one time. It's like, okay, now look, only two people in this house can drive. We got all of this. But God being the God that he is, he was letting us know that he will restore and give us that, not only what we've lost, but even in abundance. So just continue to trust in God. These times are hard out here. I know so many things that we're seeing and things that's going on in the news, here in our country, around the world, within our own city. So I just pray that you don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. Stay strengthened and just continue to trust God. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you all.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God for the testimony. Gave you a little extra time because the Holy Spirit was moving. But we thank God for her word, the word God gave her in testimony, being the last person to know to speak. So bless God. I did have a word in your mouth. At this time, I'm going to have Mother McCormick. And as I said, I put Mother McCormick with oh, my God, where I'm saying. She didn't have Mother Willette either. Mother McCormick, Pastor Sims, and Mother Willette. Praise God. Mother, Lord, bless. Oh, my God, our time is getting away. We had so many tonight.
Yeah.
Bless the Lord. Okay, then at this time, Mother McCormick.
All right. Praise God. Thank God for, I tell you, it's been good. Thank God for each and every one. I know we can't say too much, but I just want to just thank God for all of them because it was so good. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come, Lord, asking you, Lord God, to forgive us for every sin and fault that we might have said or done. And God, as we speak tonight, God, we ask you, Lord, to use me, Lord, the way that you see fit. God, anything that I said that's not pleasing your sight, Lord, I ask you to forgive me and help me to be and to speak the word that you want me to speak, Lord. And let self move out of the way that you take control in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I was writing it down, some stuff, and it's y'all have to excuse me about trying to pronounce this word. Rest story and restoration. So I was writing this down. It said, bring back That's what I was thinking about restoring, how you can, like, things come back to you. And is there anything taken away or lost? You know, sometimes, you know, you lose thing and things can get, you can get it back. And I also, it's a renewing or revive, you know, just like as we going through situation on the day, like we need to be revived of some situation where we might be need to be restored some things that after we have went through all these things that we've been through in life, we need to be revived. We need to be renewed of some things that we might have failed or just have bothered us in some kind of way. It said, restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a free spirit, which comes from Psalms 51 and 12. And I said, instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of the dishonor, they shall rejoice. And in the lot, therefore, in the land, they shall prosper in double portion. Shall have a double portion. They shall have an everlasting joy. And also, I was writing that way, saying the Bible restore is always and abundantly. When something is restored, it is always better and better than it was to begin with God's promise to us. It is better way, a better life, a better future. You know, we can have a better future for ourselves and our loved ones. And yet, even though all these things happened to Joe, you know, and like as y'all was saying all the things and you were speaking, I said, Lord, I got some of the same thing. I said, but God, I thank you. We all are on one accord. And it said Joe, and he said he did not turn from God, even though the thing like sister was saying, even though the things that he was going through, the things that he lost, he still didn't turn from God, even though his wife said, won't you curse God and die? I mean, yeah, curse God and die. And he still held on to what he believed that his God was able to do for him, even though he lost everything he had. And then restoration is an act of returning something to its former condition, making something new again. And then I made a little topic here where it said it is time to open your mouth. It is time to get off of the rest story. I thought about that as, like I said, God is one who give life. He's the one that give us life. God is the air we breathe. And that breath is powerful from God's presence. And he breathed his word, you know, for us to receive, you know, as that word come out, he wants us to receive that word so there can be a change in our life. Because you can say the word all day long. But if you don't receive it, that is just like being on the restoration and then the restoration machine, just like a person is on a machine. You know, they lay in there in that bed and they're not able to say anything. So it's just like I said, if you don't receive it, that is just like being on a restoration machine. We got to hear. Yeah. And, you know, you be here, you got to receive it. And believe me, you got to have faith and act. You got to walk on it or walk in it. And so it said, talk about itching ears. And then I thought about what it said in 2 Timothy 4, where I'm going to read this part down here. It says, 2 Timothy 4 and 1, I charge you in the presence of God in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. And by his appearance and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reproving, rebuking, and exhorting with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passion and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into Matthew, and as for you, always be sober-minded. Endure, suffer into the work of evangel in fulfilling your ministry. And so I was just reading that, let us know the day that God have he has sent people to preach the word for us. And there's many that don't want to be restored. They don't want to restore. They don't want to hear. They don't want to listen to what the word of God is saying. They want to go and do their own thing. They don't want to hear what you got to say. And if they're in a place where they should be taught, they want to leave that place. They want to go somewhere else. That person might be preaching the word, the true word of God. But no, they might not want to hear that true word of God. They might want to run over to this other place where their ears are itching, where they can do anything that they want to do. And so that's why I was just putting that, you know, thinking about that situation. And that's when it comes to where people got itchy ears. They don't want to listen to the truth. They want to do what they want to do. I was also reading what it said. The Bible said that God's word works in those who believe it. So no matter what you see today, believe that God is working on your breakthrough. Open your mouth with the authority. Get off of the respiration. And so that's what, you know, that's what I have brought to you today, that as we walk this journey, as we go through respiration, like I said, it's just like being on the respiration machine, that God is breathing his breath into you, and he wants you to be changed. He wants you to be different. He don't want us to be that same old way. He's wanting to restore this whatever it have been happened to you. He wants to restore it. He wants you to come back. He wants you to come back to him so he can do the work that he need to do in us. In the name of Jesus. So and he want us to listen. He don't want us to go around walking from one place to the other. Don't want to listen to what that word is saying, what the true word of God is saying. Because you can hear anything. You can listen to anything. But he wants you to listen to that word of God, that word that's going to set you free, that word that's going to help you as you walk through these trials and these tribulations. You go through situations today. You need that word. You need to stand. You need to be stand on the word of God, and we need to know how to do the things what God wants us to do. And like there were so many saying different things about different things of what the word of God says. And also, if like in Joe and Joe 33:4, and 2 Timothy 3:16, and then you can also read Ecclesiastes 3:19, or either 1 Corinthians 14 and 23, if I'm not mistaken. So, and then also I had, this is my last bit. And also it was said in 1 Peter 5:10, I had that. And the God of all grace who called you to be eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, after we have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong. He'll make you strong, firm and steadfast. The word steadfast is to be firm and unwavering in your faith. Also, being steadfast means trusting. He wants you to trust the true of God's word over the saying of any man. And being rooted, you got to be rooted and grounded in the word throughout any season, because there are different seasons going to come. Well, things might try to even knock you down, but you got to stay grounded in that word. And through any season of circumstance, those circumstances will come too. Then the measure of your steadfastness is proved over time as you go through. And then the restoration of failure is a serious condition that happens when your lungs, that's in the natural, it happens when your lungs cannot get enough oxygen until your blood are removing enough. You cannot breathe on your own. That is when you need God's breath life into you. God's word is God's breath to us, bring us life, making us more like Christ. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, which he's telling people today. Prophesy then that word prophesy is the word of God, that he's speaking the word to people so they can live. If you take heed to what you're hearing, let that word get into you, you can live. You can be restored back to life as you have walked around. And just like in Ezekiel, I think it's Ezekiel, if I'm not mistaken, Ezekiel 37 would speak about the bones, the dead man bones, and speak about that. Will these bones live again? And he said, you know, Lord, like that. So therefore, God is speaking. He's breathing his breath on his people today, and he wants them to be able to open up. He wants, like I said in the topic, it is time to open your mouth. It is time to get off the restoration. The restoration, the thing that's been, you've been breathing, but you ain't been breathing in his breath. You ain't been taking hold of his word that you could breathe. So that's what it's all about. And so that's what I got you for today. But on my little last one, and I'm going to stop, sister, it says, he never promised we will not have a problem, but he did promise that we will not have to be alone in it. So that's my last part. Amen.
Praise God. Bless the Lord. Look like we're going to have to break it down to 10 to 12 minutes now to kind of get everybody in. So next is Pastor Sims, and then Mother Willette.
Thank you, God. We give God the glory. I wasn't aware that I could speak tonight, but I'm ready, and I would like to go over some of the things that were said to me and some of the experiences, and I try not to be long. I try to be in 10 minutes, 12 minutes. So I thank God for this opportunity, because I didn't read a lot of scripture. I didn't study because I didn't know, but I know about restoration, and I know how God dealt with me through some of these processes. And I listened as Pastor Bird came up, and she told us, and she gave some great information, said none of us are perfect, and how we should forgive each other. And you forget it and move on, because you're not perfect and they're not perfect. And then Pastor Evangelist Ely came up, and she said some conflicts happen to make you stronger, and they do. But now she gave the scripture, James 1, 3, and 4, stay on track, she said. And Mother Alexander, who always tells us and always encourages us so much, Mother Alexander and a lot of the other ones, but if you just listen, say, know that you know that you know. And that helped me a lot of nights rolling in the bed in pain. Or hold on, get you a scripture. Stand on a certain scripture. If you can't stand on all of them, stand on a certain scripture. Hold on to it, and God will restore you back to health. And somebody said, he'll bring you back better than you were before. And Pastor Anun said that we have to pray and hold on and trust in God. And that's what we need to do. If you don't do that, you won't get the victory. And we also hear you say, Mother, leave you not to take you. Mother McCormick said, believe the word. You must believe it, and you have to be sober-minded. You can't be hopscotch, jumping back and forth, unstable, unsteady. We have to be steadfast in that faith. If you believe it and you trust in it, God will bring you out of these things. And some of these things I'm still praying for and still holding on and still believing God to do just what he said he would do. And I just give him the honor and the glory for his steadfast faith, because he didn't have to do it. But the Bible said that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. And we do give him glory and thank him for his mighty working power. But you have to do something in the process. You have to believe, and you have to hold on. No matter how long it takes. Sometimes people pray all their life for something, just looking and waiting. But if you hold on, believe, have faith, God will bring it to pass if he decides to give it to you, because he doesn't always say yes. Sometimes he says wait, and sometimes he says no. but he promised to be with you. You're not in this fight by yourself. And the scripture that I have that I would like to read to you is also 1 Peter 5, but it's 8:10. If I could read it to you, I'd appreciate it. Be self-controlled and alert. And that's what it says in this Bible here. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And then the 9th verse says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And then the 10th one says, and the God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. And that tells you, wraps it up in a nutshell. If you hold on to your faith, Mother Alexander, hold on no matter how it runs you. Get that bulldog tenacity, because that's the only way you're going to come out of these things. And I'm not saying that all this stuff is so easy and it's just tiptoe through the tulip, but if the Holy Ghost lives in you, it will shine through you, and you can be of a help. You help yourself and to other people because you recognize, oh, hallelujah, where your help comes from. Your help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We give God the glory and thank you for this opportunity. I know about restoring and restoration because that's what he's done for me so many, many times. And I'm still holding on, looking forward to living and not always be what are the speakers say, not always be bowed down with trouble. You looking for bad things all the time. Just like you look for bad things, you look for good because God is good. Thank you. God bless you all.
Praise God. Oh, one moment. I thought I had her line open. Praise the Lord, Mother Willette. Just a moment. Praise God for the words that God bless. And my dear, I thought you was on the line when we make the announcement for. Thank God for your words of encouragement, too.
Then, oh, yeah. We'll thank you.
Announcement for everybody and the last time we were together. Praise the Lord. Mother Willette, did you go off the line? Let me see where your name is. I don't see her again, sir. Let me see. Praise be to God. Now my machine trying to get freezing up. Please move. Bless the Lord. I give God glory for all that he's already done. I'm going to try one more time to see if I see her number. And the time is getting back because we're on the clock. I was trying to get everything, make sure all of it get recorded. Lord, bless this thing to move so I can scroll. In the name of Jesus, God, with such powerful words tonight. Mother will let him trying to find you. Jesus, I hope y'all praying because this thing is trying to freeze up. And we're trying to get all this word in that God can give this man and women of God tonight. There she is. Oh, so please go back. And I know she got a word in her belly. Mother Willette, are you there?
I am.
Okay, then go ahead now. You have the floor.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Truly we give God glory, honor and praise for all that he is doing, praise God, and all that we've heard on tonight. I thank and praise God. I've heard quite a bit of definitions for restoration and or restoring. Praise God. I like the statement that was said. It means to bring back, to reinstate, and there were some other words like reinstate or put back or replace. Praise God, reestablish. So I wanted to say first, Psalms 23, verses 1 through 3, which says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." And verse 3, "He restores my soul." My soul is my life. Glory be to God. And then you're going to hear the message as I give you some scripture, praise God. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17 says, "Therefore he that is in Christ is a new creature. The old things," hallelujah, "those previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away," praise God. "Behold, all things have become new." In other words, because there's a spiritual awakening, praise God, that brings new life. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And I like what I heard a number of people said. I guess we were looking at the same reference when we looked up the definition for restore, restoration, that says that in the Bible, restoration is always in abundance, praise God. And I thought about, praise God, Joseph. Hallelujah, in Genesis, that mentioned that, "As for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to do what? Bring about this present outcome that many people would be kept alive." Glory be to God. And I thought about Job and all I heard about Job, praise God, many of the speakers spoke about. Praise God. And Job said, praise God, in the 42nd chapter, praise God, you'll find there how the Lord blessed Job latter in more than the beginning. Praise God. Hallelujah. God, hallelujah, can restore you. And I thought about David. Praise God. Yeah, David had missed the mark a couple of times, but in Psalms 51, praise God, I like what he said. Verse 7, he said, "Purge me." You know, a lot of times we need restoration, and all of us needed restoration, because if you were not a child of God and you were living on this earth without God, you was in need of a restoration. Hallelujah. You was in need to be put back in a right relationship. And yes, God is able to mend relationships, glory be to God, but we have to do our part. Hallelujah. David said, "Purge me as hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow." And David said to God, "Make me to hear the joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice." Sin has caused some things to get broken. Hello, somebody. "Hide your face from my sins," David said, "and blot out my iniquities, and create in me a clean heart." I heard somebody say, "Be ye transformed by renewing your mind." Yes, glory be to God. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from your presence." We need the presence of Almighty God with us 24/7. You better believe it. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. "And take not thy Holy Spirit." God, we need your Holy Spirit. And then verse 12, David said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit." And then look here what you can happen once you've been restored. Hallelujah. And I'm reminded, hallelujah, glory be to God, I heard somebody say that. That verse 13 said, "Then will I teach transgressors the ways, thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you." And I put a little note, you can't teach nobody nothing if you have not been restored. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God has to do this thing. Glory be to God. And then I have one more scripture, and I'm not going to keep you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I like, hallelujah, that God talks about in the Word of God that he was going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And yes, he's going to do just what he said, because he is the I am that I am. Glory be to God. He's a promise-keeping, a covenant-keeping God. Hallelujah, glory be to God. He said, and praise God, in Revelation, how he would, hallelujah, make a new heaven and a new earth. And I began to thought about when Jesus had resurrected, praise God, and he was talking to the disciples, and he was telling them to go and tarry and wait for what? The Holy Ghost, because you're going to need some Holy Ghost power to help you along the journey. Yes, hallelujah. There are some challenges, but I would ask Peter, "Peter, what you going to do? Hallelujah. Peter, be remind you and say, look here, the Lord told Peter, once you've been converted, strengthen the brethren. Hallelujah. If you've been converted, if you've been restored to a right relationship with the Lord, you should be able to encourage somebody and stop being selfish. I must have said something just then. Hello, somebody. I need to hurry up and hasten on. Praise God. And that last thing I want to say, oh, I was mentioning praise God. Hallelujah. The disciples was asking Jesus when he mentioned about going tarry for the Holy Ghost. They said, well, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Hello, somebody. See, they was waiting. They was wanting the kingdom to be restored right there and then. There's a day coming. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, that's why I said God said he going to make a new heaven. And it's going to be, yes, it's going to be better. Hello, somebody. Because you know what? The brokenness, the fall of man will no longer be it. That's the old earth realm. Hello, somebody. It's going to be a new heaven. It said, and I wrote a little note, Jesus had just told them that they were going to receive the promise of the Father. And for 40 days after his resurrection, he had been telling them about the kingdom of God. And Lord, glory be to God, when I pray, Lord, let your kingdom come. What's his kingdom? His righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I could go on, but I will go ahead and stop right there. There's so many wonderful things, but we need to trust in the Lord, lean not to our own understanding, and remember that God is the one that will restore our soul, our life, praise God. But remember, if you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, praise God, remember the old things. You shouldn't be living under the old worldly or earthly, fleshly behavior. You should be a new creature. In the 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter talks about if one is overtaken in a fault, this shouldn't be been named where this guy was, and they say he even married his stepmom, not just was dating a hello somebody. And Paul said, I've already judged that situation, and he mentioned there was something about, you know what, you need to basically put him out, turn him over, turn his flesh over to Satan, and then it's mercy in that, because then you can still get his life saved, praise God, his life, hallelujah, at least he wouldn't go to hell. But we pray that people will be converted, praise God. When they come to the Lord, they will, but they got to first be willing to repent, turn to God, and let God restore them to a right relationship, and then they can be transformed by renewing their mind with what the Word of God says and stand on the decide you're going to agree with the Word of God. We love God. We thank God, and we praise God, and we thank God for, praise God, hallelujah, that he is our good shepherd. We should not want for any good or beneficiary thing, and let the Lord refresh, restore your soul. And God, please, as David said, take not thy Holy Ghost from us. Hallelujah, glory be to God. And if you, praise God, hallelujah, restore to us the joy of your salvation and uphold us with your free presence, your Holy Ghost, then we can teach transgressors their ways, and sinners shall be converted unto you, Lord. We love you, we bless you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Now, that was powerful, praise God, even in the last of the last ones that spoke, praise God. Tell me about my God. And it says 90 seconds. We have a few more seconds. Just all we can do is say, so I will not definitely have anything to say tonight. So all we have to do is, Brother Black came on real, real late, so he had a busy week. So we're going to have to ask him to have a few words on Monday night and maybe those 5 minutes with Rachel then. And I thank God for everyone that God allowed tonight to speak and have words. Praise the Lord. At this time, praise God, if Apostle Burton is still on my night. We had several people on here, so I can't look if her number is still there. But I'm going to open the last couple of lines. So if she have anything she want to say tonight, and First Lady Paige, if she's online still, than anything that I'm saying on those last couple of minutes. Well, ain't no minutes no more, but still yet ain't going to hurt nothing to say. Praise the Lord. We got just about everybody. A couple more lines to be open. Praise the Lord. Are you there, Apostle? Let me see who's the last one here that hadn't even opened up yet. Oh, he's freezing up again. Well, First Lady Paige, are you there, Apostle Burton? Okay. My thing is freezing up again. I thank the Lord. It's such a powerful word. I guess we'll express a little bit more later, but I tell you, I have been richly blessed with everything I've heard tonight. Oh, my God. If God did not ordain this, there is no truth in it, and I know he did, and how the words kept overlapping with the scriptures and coming on. Oh, God, was so much. God bless. Praise the Lord. So neither one of those pastors or the evangelists on still, so only thing I can say now is, Chapter Bird, you have anything to say before we close tonight? Because not less than one wants to stay over the time. You want to stay over the time and have remarks? I'm not having a problem with it. It just won't be recorded. But praise God. I thank God for all the words that was recorded that we can go back and hear what the Spirit of the Lord had to say to the church tonight, because it was powerful. Praise the Lord. Amen. Prophet Bird, is she already gone too? Probably so. But anyway, go ahead, ma'am.
I don't have anything to say.
Well, I just want to bless the Lord. And so in the meantime, the Lord say the same, hopefully. Oh, we cannot get off the phone if there's not a prayer request. Even though it might not be recorded, there's always prayers is in place for anyone that's desiring prayer or something they found out that the Lord had dealt with them about that they need God to bless. And we're in agreement with all that word. We do not want to hang out without the prayer request if there is one, because somebody may have a sickness or something to stand the gap for someone, so we don't never want to close without having that prayer request. We are on tomorrow night for prayer time. If you want to join us, that was on the line tonight, same number will get you right back to the service for tomorrow night. And anyone that needs to hear this word, that they may have missed part of it tonight, you just go to blogtalkradio.com, Divine Connection, /Divine Connection, and you can be able to pull it up, and we and you can hear the message back probably in another hour than anyone prior to this. So did anyone have a prayer request? We just thank God again for all of you, and we'll probably talk a little bit more on it tomorrow night. If you don't have any responses to anything right now, if you just want to share something, you can. But I tell you, if anyone that heard this tonight and even ones that have spoken, you all have heard from God without a shadow of a doubt. The Spirit of the Lord moved in a miraculous way. I'm telling you, praise God. I already knew that I probably wouldn't be speaking tonight. I knew that even though I wrote the messages down, I knew I wasn't, because it was going to be full, but it was extremely powerful tonight. Praise God. Like I said, Brother Black and Sister Rachel, we'll give you a few minutes tomorrow for you all to share 15 with him and 5 with her. Praise God. And I'm not going to another time. Y'all have said everything anyway to say. I only have a couple of things to add in that might have been a little bit different. But other than that, most everything was said was already been said, so I'll probably use that for a Bible study or something later. Praise the Lord. At this time, anybody have a response before we hang up? Oh, God. Well, bless. I love you all. The Lord say the same. Look forward to hearing from you all as we touch and agree. The Lord say the same tomorrow night. And bless the Lord. And just we can just meditate on God's goodness. As I said, you go back to blogtalkradio.com/divineconnection, D-E-V-I-N-E, for the ministry, how we spell divine. And then you can pull it up and listen for what you might have missed or either in between the speaking. Bless the Lord, and it was so wonderful. Everybody carried over so beautiful. I really didn't have to come in and try to intervene by too long. And even the extra time that was given to a couple of them, it was just the anointing. But God had a purpose for all, but we got it all in. So thank God for you. We love you. God bless you. Have a blessed and wonderful night, blessed week. Blood covering over all of you. Pray God's favor upon you, healing and deliverance, binding Satan up and all of the cords, set up traps, plots, plan, untimely death, sickness, anything to do with COVID, we believe in to be eradicated. Thank God for bringing Alicia through that COVID, and anybody else that's been online and gone through it, she just coming through it, and then these other, and anyone else that's been sick that we've been praying, we'll continue to pray for them, and we ask you to pray one for another as well. keep us all covered in the ministry and those around the globe. We love you and pray God's blessings. Release the Holy Spirit for his to have his free will in us as we submit to him. I love you. God bless you. I enjoyed you thoroughly. I'm looking forward to listening to the rest of this tonight myself. Praise God. Have a good night. Shalom.
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 Praise God. Bless
you.
Bless
you.
Love you. God bless. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. What a mighty God. Thank you, Lord. Praise his holy name. He is worthy of the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Who said they didn't have much? Who said that? I'm trying to catch. I sound like it was a prophet trying to say, I don't have a word. I don't have a word. I'm not sure. I have a little bit. I'm not going to keep you long, little lady. But I had to, like, okay, I just hung up with everybody. And I'm like, okay, let me find out with this little lady here. What a blessing. I know there had to be the Lord blessing you to release that testimony to go with restoration and restoring. Nah. That was something else. Praise God.
Praise God, yes.
I already knew the day, even when I was writing. I said, oh, no. And I think I might have mentioned it to somebody. I don't think I'm going to be get to say anything tonight because I was thinking about who was on, but I didn't think about how many for real. But I know we were going to have a full house. And that didn't even have, like, Brenda or anybody like that on or either Sister Nola or whatever. That's just one of the ladies. I don't know how Mother Sims could have missed it, but I don't know. I thought she was supposed to be on the line tonight when we announced that on our last night of ministry. But, however, it still just flow in, even if she just highlighted what y'all said. Praise God, it's still a blessing. Everybody went through it. Upset Brother Black, he had a full week, and he must have finally got my message because I called him right when the third person was home, and I didn't see his name. So he still hadn't come on. I ain't paid no attention until not too long ago. He must have came over in the last half hour. But it was too late then. The other ones that was coming on, they were still getting a little tight, you know, because I know the anointing that get, was on that testimony, Joel, so I didn't interrupt. I just let it flow. And I think Pastor Burgess probably went over 4 minutes, so that wasn't bad. And the other ones, you know, everybody else stayed in compliance, and yours was a testimony of what God has given with that word, too. So everybody still yet was able to comply and
even though they had to do their last 8 to 10 minutes, it still yet worked out good that the words got up under that umbrella before it closed for the recording. So I just thank the Lord. Amen. So I just like, no, I'll give them a few minutes tomorrow and whatever like this right here, because if he'd have came on, he'd have been up the line already on the word too. But
yeah.
But I tell you, God is good. He did what needed to be done. And I love how it just kept overlapping. But what was so amazing, there were so many things that were said in between that basic scripture that kept coming out, two of the
yeah.
basic scriptures that kept coming out, especially that one about, you know, in Peter. Oh, my God. That was just beautiful.
It was definitely some good words. I had already said last night when you said fifth Sunday. I said, oh, that means there's service tomorrow night.
Not fifth Sunday, fourth Sunday. We only do.
I thought I heard you say fifth Sunday.
No, we only do fifth Sunday is only when it's something special, so it's fourth. So it's always fourth, second and fourth Sunday. Fifth Sunday is only when it's special.
Oh, that is right. I don't know why. When I heard it last night, I said, oh, well, I got to make sure I get on the line so I don't miss service.
Yeah, well, praise
and
God.
And then I fell asleep and took a nap, and I said, well, I'll make sure I get up. And I had just barely got my eyes open, and I was trying to get myself together, and then the phone rang.
Yeah, because I realized that when you had called, whatever, I said, she must be already, I looked up, she must was already online when I was calling in. That's the only thing I could think of.
I was trying to wake up to get ready to get on the phone.
Oh.
And I said, well, wait a minute, did I get the time mixed up? So I tried to answer or call you back. And then I said, well, maybe she's calling to let me know.
Yes, yes.
So I said, let me just go ahead and log on now. And then after I logged on, I saw your text message.
Oh, you logged in. You didn't call in. You logged in.
I mean, I called in. Excuse me.
Oh, yeah, because Johnny Mason, I didn't see her number. She said, I'm online. And I said, I don't see your number. She said, oh, she logged in. So if I don't know anything about if that number don't show up, how to open the line the chat, because I don't know who, I don't know what the people be over there really or not, but I haven't really learned how to do that part, so I don't really open that side for no chat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I called in, and then, well, that might be a good way to do it, because, well, now I don't get charged for calling. But anyway, when I called in, I ended up seeing later the text message, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, I still got people on my voice. I don't even know. I was confused. I was nervous. I started sweating.
Well, I'll tell you what, the spirit man was doing his job then, because it sure didn't. I heard a little bit of something when you was getting a little hype when you first started. But after that, I heard nothing but just flowing with it. So I was like, okay, fill your mouth. I said, open your mouth and let him fill it by faith. And I'm telling you, you got the overflow.
Yeah.
You can always let your husband go back and hear it, too, a little bit later. Praise God. When you're doing nothing, go back and listen to the word.
No. Afterwards, I said they would not appreciate that.
Oh, no. Oh, that's right. Not that testimony. Oh, I'm thinking about the first part of the word of restoring. My mind just that fast slipped past the testimony. I was thinking about the word that came forth. Yeah, how the Lord bless you to bring the word. But, oh, yes, I know that's not a time for that one on there. I was thinking about the word. But, no, but that was appointed for God to bless. In that to encourage others that might even be going through certain things and pieces, you know, with family, this, that, and the other, and anybody else that was hearing it. But that tied right into the restoration and restoring.
Yeah.
So, yes, ma'am. I was thinking about the word. My mind didn't flip over into the other piece.
Yeah,
but nevertheless, God bless. I definitely enjoyed from the opening all the way down to whatever God blessed in there and whatever he did and doing. I tell you, because I didn't even have no preparation. All I heard was that night when God say the word while we was on the phone. And take it from there. You know how he give you something about meditate on it, and he'll give you something in it. Well, he gave it to me then for the next week. And all I'm telling you, so many things in it. And you were the one that really brought out well, Mother says, but it wasn't nothing in depth about, Pastor, she said something. She had a testimony. She did have, too, because I was thinking some people probably have some part in it where God blessed in their in restoration of what he done restored but mainly bring the foundation of the word. Because I said, however the Lord bless through the word, through the foundation of old patriarchs, your own life or testimony, however to go in with it. But I'm telling you, the way God set it up, it was real sweet. It's powerful and anointing and just, oh, God, enough to really stir your spirit, man, put a fire in it and persist in pursuing and also to encourage your heart about what his words say. So he covered all the bases.
He did.
It
was wonderful.
And I like make me look like, okay, I got some foundational stuff in here from the word and the old patriots and some of the, and also, you know, everybody just about had something to say about, you know, what it means. Of course, having that, the definition for the spiritual part and the physical, I mean the natural side from the definition and a few other little things. The only thing different than that I had from all that stuff that was said and some of the scriptures, but it was things, glory to God, that, well, I have slipped over and used all of them, but also the part about Peter and Elijah, you know, when after the Mount Carmel exposition that was done and then the going to the cave and how God had blessed and talked to him and whatever like this, but also with Peter and the denial. Those are the only other pieces because there was a lot of other stuff y'all said that just was covered in it and even something I didn't even think about in that way until it was said. And I'm like, ooh, yeah, that tied in real good. So it was just rich. So I didn't really have to bring it. I said, mine might come out of a Bible study. I've already said that to myself when I was writing some notes today. I probably won't even get to read. So I said, that's why I said I'll do mine. I think I'll talk to Brother Jeff. I said, probably be at the end. Yes, indeed. It'll probably be at the end if I get to do anything. But I don't think I'll be saying anything. Not tonight. So, yes, and nothing wrong with being prepared. Being prepared anyway. So I bless the Lord. It made me feel good because I'm sitting here trying to, I didn't write in a whole bunch of notes, but I'm trying to get a little bit of notes on everybody, a little something. Because I said, I know it's going to be a lot out I've been writing, and then I got to keep up with all whoever's and work this, smoke the dash too, especially with that many people speaking. So I'm so glad. But I'm not going to keep you, but I'm certainly blessed by it. And I got a chance to today. I had to come and let the little girl come over. Her dad dropped her off at just before 12 when him getting ready to, you know, go to his job. And she was able to help in here with the clothes and then all the stuff that was tore up. I finally just went on and pulled the paper off and let her help me put some clothes, to put the clothes in the dresser. And there were so many things in that room pile up in that corner. We got to some of it, and other parts are just going to have to still find a place to replace stuff and put it, you know, because before I could hide things behind the bed. And all this, because, you know how my, not this bed, that's up against the wall. But the other one's up against the wall, too, but, you know, it had that big curve in it. So I could put some things back there and on the side and other parts where I don't even know. I can't even figure out where all the rest of the stuff come from. Wait, why? Oh, yeah, and the dresser had some things up on it, too. Now that's going to have to be redone a different way, too, and stuff in the other parts and stuff. I don't know where. Oh, I can't even figure out how in the world, where I had some of this right here at. Why in the world are you so many things out of place right now? But nevertheless, God bless. We did get a good portion of that done back there, but the stuff that still needs to be done. And I don't even know where I'm going to put my shoes now because I had this thing in the hallway where I had, oh, yeah, that's right, that bookshelf that I took out of here. Kwamalee said she had one of the little short bookshelf. I had all my shoes stacked up on that. That was a, and now I'm like, the shoes is in the laundry room in my shopping cart. Now, where are you going to put them? Where are you going to line them up on all that? I have no idea what I'm getting ready to work out the rest of this stuff. But at least I went on and did that. I had her to help me first thing. Turn the bed around, the mattress around. Turn it all the way around. How about this rim on the thing right there? I don't know how many days it's going to take to give. How about this side is so firm and the other side is still so weak? Now, something is definitely wrong, but nevertheless, this side is firm. So it makes me feel like I'm sitting a little bit more higher. So I'm like, I'm trying out how it's going to work when I get ready to lay in it to go to, but I got some papers and stuff on top of the bed now. I got my new not a comforter, it's a spread, but it's kind of thick from the belts that I had ordered a while back. I got two more payments to do it. But anyway, I had her to put that on the bed because like, well, it's not going nowhere, so I'm going to try to work with that. And I saw a step stool thing in there that has two steps on it. Wonder whether that's a good idea if I did see it in the medical supply thing, or just go with just that one and just, you know, push myself a little bit up on the bed. Should I just do that? But I just feel that put it in the shopping cart. Instead of coming up, just not as showing up Carmelita's cart instead of just Amazon, because I punched it in and say put it on hold. So I hope she don't think that I'm telling her. I have to tell her that just because it came up in there, that's just something I'm trying to keep so I have a picture of, you know, if I can see it in the medical thing. But it had a two-step on it. One that would be like maybe 5 inches, and then the next one would be another step higher on it. So I'm saying, wonder was that going to be good, is a step on that little step, or if I have to go up to the next step. But I think that might push too much weight too on my knee. So if I just probably just need to get the little 5-inch, because all the other ones is like anyway from 7, 9 inch or 10 inch, is just definitely too high a step. So I need to get, like I told you, it needs to be at least 5 inches and lower, or 4 inches. I don't need anything higher than that. Only way the next step is be like the next step up a little bit more if I had to push up. But other than that, if I'm going to use that thing at all, I need it to be low. I don't need no 10 inch. 10 inches is too much. If it's 5 to 6, and if I can keep it at 5 and lower, it's going to be better. So, but anyway, bless the Lord. Still working. I got to get out here now and make sure I have something decent to put on to get ready for my shots in the knee. And I'm praying that it helps some, because it's been a little rough there for a little while. If it don't do better too much in the and don't last less than 2 weeks, so that means it is really pretty rough then for me to not have it to last even a couple of weeks anymore. So.
No.
Yes, ma'am. I got to find out from the doctor and find out about that medicine that Carmelita was talking about, what kind of effect it would have on me if I was to even consider having it. She would know. She's pretty thorough about medications.
Okay.
So, in the meantime, how you feeling that your honey just left home? I know he was so nice and called me, but I think he was right at the hotel or signing in for the hotel or something when he called me.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he called me while we were on service. I texted him and told him I'd call him back.
Okay.
But I'm doing okay. I missed him last night. I was like, I can't get over this. I'm going to get over COVID. I'm out of quarantine. And then
yes. That's a mess. That is something, ain't it?
Yeah. So I'm like, man, I just got him back.
Oh, wow. And the stuff still going on, too, down there?
Off and on.
Oh, you can't tell when it's going to be off or on, honey. Oh, okay. Y'all have to see red light, green light, huh?
Pretty much.
Oh, Lord. Bless the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm.
They have a moment, so I was like, okay.
Well, I pray it be, like I said, it might not be as long now as they were planning to at first, but he was telling me he had to go to work.
He did, because I was shocked.
He was telling me on the phone, talking about when you get off of winter, you got to get ready to go to work.
Yeah.
I say, what? Tell me, yeah, we doing tested all weekend. I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, as soon as we get off the float plane. Wow. Some of the other people were already there?
Yeah, they were there a couple of days before him. And so they wanted him to make sure everything was good here first before he left.
Y'all need to pay this man, because y'all trying to make up, putting him in demand. Yes, indeed. Lord, that let that abundance go on in there. And, honey, the girl may not have to go to work but a few hours if she wants to.
yesterday. I'm like, just give him his money.
That's and right. So you already contributing with your money. So in the meantime, if you stay home and keep on with these children that get so old now and y'all been working and he been staying up in school and working, trying to whatever like this right here, these last couple of years in school, at least we have you at home a little bit more. So somebody pray for both of you, but at least that'll be some time in there, like invested time. Oh, my God.
Oh, that'd be great. They pay him some extra money, and he's got a part-time job.
Yes, ma'am. I mean part-time. So, yes, indeed. That might be a day I don't have to go every day. And even if I did go every day, it's a half a day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was like, I would love that.
Yes, indeed. And it'll be good for them babies, too. And pray and the Lord bless them. Thinking about them today, I said, they're almost out of school. I said, and then all of the hard work you done did over the years, I said, Lord, have mercy. They didn't have a break for a long time, too. It's time to help go do some mopping in there, some sweeping in there, some making beds, sometimes coming in and helping Mama make bed. I said, are they going to not learn nothing how to really cope out there because they'll be out there on their own after a while. So y'all need to contribute and help Mama now.
Oh, believe me, they're going to be helping in here. I already got my plan set up.
All right, then. Praise God for wisdom. So your body got to get some more and more rest to have longevity. And after a while, just be you and him. One might stay home for a little while like you did, but that don't mean not both of them will. So you need to get them together right now. So give your body a break and doing what you got to do and not feeling bad. And not be like, I started y'all early. Okay, then, you forget me. You know what? Don't do it like this. And I end up doing the work. I'm like, in some cases, until you start learning, and then you did real good. Yeah, both of y'all did real good. Mainly you got pretty good with it. Hers came later, then she just got hung up over the years. I got to have it like this. I can't stand this. I got to have my house. I'm like, okay.
Call me for that little bit of that OCD that you had. I had that. Mm-hmm. I did not have that.
I'm not going to even call my name by because I think you probably say that's what Bird had to go on. Bird Dolan was obsessed. They've got to be a certain kind of, Lord, Emma. Even when the house was even told down, they had to repair and do things, it was just bothering her nerves. Oh, my God. But she done got a whole lot better. She still like things, but she talk about now, oh, my God, it don't, whether it get done or not, she's just not obsessed with all the little, you know, things like she's been over the years. She starts coming out of that somewhat before she left her house. But then it got more and more as time went on. But she still keep her place nice and neat, but she was saying, honey, nothing like what she was.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was called. I know what you're saying, like not claim it or anything. But you know how you see somebody that's like, man, everything's got to be in place. I didn't know if that was a real thing or not. I remember I was. And I wanted to test that thing out. You have got everything straight now. Something on the coffee, not the coffee table, the end table. And I told somebody, I said, someone was visiting. And I just said, watch this. And I just pushed it over just a little bit, not even a whole lot, just a little bit. And you was talking and walking by and moved the thing right back in place.
I know that's no better than that. I know better than that. You got it.
I was like, okay.
Honey, but I know I ain't had it like this, like a bad, like, oh, what's this person's name that was down up on that German lady? Oh, that man talking about, I said, his wife, he can go to the bathroom, sit up in his magazine, all just comfortable in a chair, go to his drink and his magazine gone. I'm like, oh, Lord. And she keep the house so clean that all the doll babies and everything, little pretty stuff and dainty little stuff, in the little girl's room, look like nobody don't live there. Oh, Lord have mercy. And then, what's the Caucasian girl that's with the pretty hazel eyes? She was real, kind of flat and top and small, but she had big hips. She's down the street. I had a pretty house, and her husband, she said, that's our husband. I mean, can move the slightest little thing on the china cabinet, on the curio cabinet, or on the mantle or whatever. He'll come right back and put that thing right back in place. What if he was the one that left to clean the house? Everything had to be in place. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord. She said it had to be all the things. I'm like, oh, my God. So So she did the cooking and whatever like this, and he did the cleaning, want everything nice and neat. You would think it was her, and come to find out it's him.
Wow.
Yes, indeed. I don't think he could remember her or not and whatever. But if you're old enough to remember now, probably you don't remember all of nothing, barely anything from Germany. But I can't remember what her name was. She's a pretty lady, light skin and had those hazel eyes. But anyway, bless the Lord. But I didn't think nothing about it. I was that bad. I know nervous, I just got nervous energy and whatever, and then I use it. Oh, if Mr. make me upset, then I just get to cleaning because all my mind being got on devil's thing because you done got me hot. So let me burn it off for cleaning. Oh, Lord have mercy. Lord, it's something else. But God is good. I tell you, that was some rich word there tonight. Lord, my God, it's good. I'm telling you, my baby came in on the last part of it, and boy, I want to try to blow things out the water. Praise God. I'm going to look forward to turning that on, laying down in the bed and putting that on. Oh, my goodness. My bed sleeping last night was not as rough as it has been, but it was a little bit in between with getting up and having to get back and messing with that numbness on my neck with nothing on my hands. But it wasn't nothing compared to whatever. I kept turning back all that. But never had to do with that much like I did when I had my king size. But I was trying to find out, well, I need some better pillows. I may try that pillow that may be advertising on the TV all the time. Sometimes you hear reports that it's like it's good. Other ones it's like not. You know, the one that he always talking about his pillows and they're on sale now. He's been talking about for the last few months. You know, you talk, one to be advertising about his pillows. Now you got other stuff too as well. You know, you're always working on shoes and all that kind of stuff. My pillow.
Yeah, I think that's on
the
TV.
Yeah.
Oh. I don't like him.
Oh, I'm saying, oh, it's got a little magazines, little things, right? I'm saying, I'm either that or find what company it is. I want to go all up to them crazy prices. While lady said that came over to work 1 week, and she said before she retired, and the lady that I told you was about 63 or 60, whatever, and she said she bought this pillow by somebody that was $100, and she said, oh, my Lord, whatever the name was or however, she talking about some good sleep she said she got from that pillow. I said, Lord knows, somebody going to have it on sale or buy it for me.
I know, $100.
A little bit over $100. I'm like, Lord of mercy, for a pillow? She said, yes, they even got a pillow even higher than that. I'm like, a pillow? And then I probably should know that because these people that's wealthy and this, that, and the other or got the little money or, you know, not be well-to-do and no telling. Probably something that we just hadn't even ever noticed that they think how some things can go up to. And you know what I looked at, too, when I'm looking at today and this, and I'm going to let you get ready to go. How about, you know, they had this advertising about the upright rollators, and they was charging a ridiculous price up into $1,000 and some. And I don't remember the other one is a little less than that. Now they got some that's in the thing for $200 and less than that, different ones of different makes that come up under that medical thing that will stand up right so you don't have to be leaning over or standing up just holding it like you normally do. Because people that just need it for balance, they got it where you can, the upright ones for, I said, Lord, now they need to have something like that for up under that medical thing when we got to be having to change up to get a rollator or what's the name, chair, so we can get and what about this. But thank goodness they got a price down enough, if you save enough, you can even order one now. It's not to that ridiculous, crazy price. Because, you know, every time you put something out, somebody, you have the patent for a little bit. But after a while, somebody can be able to get, you know, make something of the same similar thing and still make good money off of it. Because the other ones that was happening, they was just so crazy. And then they had it where you couldn't, even if you ordered it, you had to make sure that you had enough whatever your weight is, because they wouldn't have none under 300 under. They all of them was like 300 and below.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. But these right here, I've seen they had 350. I didn't keep looking. That was this morning, real early. I was looking at it. Oh, it had been 40 in them. I don't remember. Whatever it is. And I was like, oh my goodness. They got those. I stumbled across them because I was looking for whatever, and then it dropped down, you know, when it shows some other medical stuff, and then it starts showing these rollators. And I looked down, I mean, man, it had some people with three or four or five different styles with the upright one. I'm like, what? And they were advertising. You don't see that on TV no more when they were doing that when it first came out last year. It was the last year or the year before. Oh, I said, now you don't even see the commercial no more. And it's coming to find out they got it in the thing there. Oh, yeah, we got some too, honey. And they, the upright one where you can stand up and walk, and then you still have the seat in it for the rollator.
No, okay.
I'm like, okay, I like that now. That helped me be standing up more instead of being leaning over like that and walking. I said, yes, because you can put your elbows on it. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, I love this, because I would love on my to get one of those here a little bit later so that I can still be leaning over like I'm going to help my back and standing straight up too and walking, and then still get be able to have the weight enough where I can sit down.
We need to design that. Because one of the guys at the VA and the prosthetics department made his thing upright. And I was like, where is that? He told me, well, that's what they did for him. And I don't remember having a seat. Can't remember. But I put our arch, and I said, that's what we need. We need something like that. And a seat. So we saw that there was some out there. Like you said, they're so expensive.
Well, I saw these right here for a couple of $100 and more, but nothing like what they were talking about out there when they started out with that couple of $1,000 and then $1,000 and something and all this now and so forth like this right here. People can get them cheaper than that. Let me see if I can see where that thing was. It might be going off my thing now, but it was because I was looking for medical supplies, and I said, I may have to look, not only say medical supply, but before. Rollators, upright. Not going to let me do nothing while I'm on the phone. I have to type in. The mic ain't going to let you do it. Oh, praise God. What you looking at?
I'm listening to you and then just responding to a text request.
Okay, a little later. Upright. Now, that's a regular kind right there. And that's $3.99. For a drive medical, some kind of that wants to stand up, at least $300 on these other little regular rollators. And that's one. I want that one that you have with that lady sitting. Here it is, a rollator with armrest tall. But this right here, probably, and they say Walmart. Did Walmart start having a upright one? And where's that other one? 147. It got to be ones. You got them handles on it where you can put your elbows on it. That's now. This is the other one here. But this got it right. Talking about a step mobility. This one right here, a harder seat. That's right. Upright like that. That thing is $1,000. This right here was two something with theirs by Eklinger. And that's another one for $9.98. This is another kind for $1.91. And another kind for $1.99. This lady is Walmart for $189.99. I wonder what how much they turn back around and charge them. I mean, how much their weight is on them. That's the thing. They got to make sure when you're getting them that they're going to have those ones made like that. The 230 with a nice hard seat. Let me see if they say. Well, at least they got more out there that we can stand up better so you don't have to bariatric. And they got that thing where it's up almost like the one that you sit in normally, but they have it with the lower handles, and they got the handles that can come up, and that's a good deal right there. So if you want to have it, you can push it back down. Let me see how much what the weight is on that.
Is the phone still on? Sure is.